Children of Men, voiced by Charlotte Strevens on behalf of MCS Agency, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, with Clive Owen as Theo Farron, Julianne Moore as Julian, Claire Hope Ashiti as Key, Pam Ferris as Miriam, and Michael Caine as Jasper. It's morning. A tall, dark, sallow-skinned man with a 5 o'clock shadow threads his way to the front of a coffee bar. There's not one young person in sight. Everyone is standing stock still, watching the TV above the counter.
Day 1000 of the Siege of Seattle.
The Muslim community demands an end to the army's occupation of mosques.
The Homeland Security Bill is ratified. After 8 years, British borders will remain closed. The deportation of illegal immigrants will continue. Good morning. Our lead story.
The world was stunned today by the death of Diego Ricardo, the youngest person on the planet. Baby Diego was stabbed outside a bar in Buenos Aires after refusing to sign an autograph.
Witnesses at the scene say that Diego spat in the face of a fan who asked for an autograph. He was killed in the ensuing brawl. The fan was later beaten to death by the angry crowd. Born in 2009, the son of Marcelo and Silvia Ricardo, a working-class couple from Mendoza, he struggled all his life with the celebrity status thrust upon him as the world's youngest person.
Waiting, the man also watches. Footage of Diego's life is played.
Diego Ricardo, the youngest person on the planet, was 18 years, 4 months, 20 days, 16 hours, and 8 minutes old.
Taking his coffee, the man makes his way out of the bar and onto the busy road. London, the 16th of November, 2027. A motorised rickshaw goes past, a red London bus. Everything looks grim and dirty, black plastic bags piled up along the pavement. In his dark grey overcoat, the man walks along, passing people going about their business, and stops to put his paper cup down on a junction box sticking up from the curb. He pours in a slug of whiskey. A thick cloud of smoke spews out from the coffee bar he's just left, the force of the blast blowing him off balance. As the smoke clears, a woman stands on the pavement screaming. At the Ministry of Energy, the man flashes his ID past security. Within a large room with a high ceiling and parquet floor, units of computers, desks and chairs are clumped together. The man walks across to his, passing colleagues who are all watching the breaking news on their screens, some openly weeping. He sits down. Directly opposite him, his female colleague's desk is covered with knick-knacks and a British flag. Her face is contorted with grief.
Throughout his life, Diego Ricardo was a tragic reminder of the 18 years of infertility that humanity has endured and its effect upon the world we now live in. It seems that the mantle of the world's youngest human has passed to a woman. She is 18 years, 5 months and 11 days old.
He knocks on his manager's door.
Baron, Mr. Griffiths. I seem to be more affected by baby Diego's death than I realise, sir. If you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it if I could finish my day's work at home.
Balding and middle-aged Mr. Griffiths swallows a pill with some coffee and stares at Farron. On the overground train, the TV shows pictures of war and destruction in the capital cities across the globe. Headlines announce, "The world has collapsed, only Britain soldiers on." Sitting by the window in the reinforced carriage, Farron gazes morosely into space. Suddenly, the carriage windows are pelted by rocks. Disaffected individuals angrily stand on the tracks. When the train comes into the station, the platform is heavily armed and guarded with wire cages to prevent the many immigrants from getting onto the platform. An immigrant talks to herself. Another implores. Farron breaks into a smile when he passes through security.
Hey, amigo.
Jasper.
Good to see you. Come on.
Jasper's an aging hippie. They drive past fields of burning cattle.
You know who did it?
Islamic, fishes, fuck knows.
I bet it was the government. Every time one of our politicians is in trouble, a bomb explodes.
It's the second time in a month.
You okay?
It was horrible.
I'm glad you don't take cream or sugar, Amiga. Losing you, baby Diego, on the same day would be too hard to bear.
Well, that was even worse, everybody crying. I mean, baby Diego, come on. That guy was a wanker.
Yeah, but he was the youngest wanker on earth. Pull my finger, quick.
Oh, Jasper, quick. No. Oh, fucking hell, that's disgusting.
Jasper waves the bus on.
Illegal immigrants, taking them to Bex Hill. Poor Fugees, after escaping the worst atrocities and finally making it to England, our government hunts them down like cockroaches.
Their miserable faces are pressed up against the glass. The car pulls up on an empty stretch of road and they get out. They move a clump of branches and foliage to one side to reveal a pathway through a forest of tall pine trees and bracken which lead to Jasper's eco-home.
Any girls?
No.
What about the one we had lunch with, Lauren?
Lorna, that was ages ago.
Oh, I liked her. What happened?
She decided to renounce.
Renouncers? Are those the ones that kneel down for a month for salvation?
No, they're the repenters. The renouncers flagellate themselves for the forgiveness of humanity.
Oh, right. You're dating ain't what it used to be, is it, Amiga?
They drive along the pathway.
What'd you do on your birthday?
Nothing.
Oh, come on, you must have done something.
No, same as every other day. Woke up, felt like shit. Went to work, felt like shit.
That's called a hangover, Amiga.
At least with a hangover, I feel something. Honestly, Jasper, sometimes...
You could always come and live with us.
Yeah, but if I did that, I wouldn't have anything to look forward to.
Inside Jasper's home, the memorabilia is blunt. Photo journalist of the year. Political cartoonist of the year, 90% infertility, no baby hope for scientists, massive migration, all foreigners now illegal, channel tunnel now closed.
Look who it is, it's Theo.
Hey Janice, how are you doing?
It's Theo, your rebel with a lost cause.
She is expressionless in her wheelchair.
She loves this colour, don't you, darling?
They gently drape a ruby scarf around her neck. Theo spots a photograph of himself with a woman and baby on the side.
Is there a chance it will not work for me? There have been no cases of anyone surviving who has taken the preparation.
Daddy government hands out suicide kits and antidepressants in the rations, but ganja is still illegal. Most of my weed goes to Bex Hill now. This bloke buys it from me and smuggles it in. Guess what he does? His real job.
Immigration cop.
Bravo. One of the many perks of having a refugee camp in the neighbourhood. What tastes that?
Theo takes the offered spliff. A marmalade cat is snuggled next to him on the sofa.
Cough.
Cough.
Cough. You taste it? Strawberries. This is strawberry cough. So, Human Project is having this dinner, and all the wisest men in the world are there.
Human Project? What do people believe this crap? You know, even if these people existed with these facilities in secret locations, fuck me, that's strong. Even if they discovered the cure for infertility, it doesn't matter. Too late. World went to shit. You know what? It was too late before the infertility thing happened, for fuck's sake.
I'm still trying to tell a joke, man.
No, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, I'm not telling it now.
No, come on, Jasper.
No, sorry. I'm not fucking done.
Go on.
Okay. The Human Project gives this great big dinner for all the scientists and sages in the world. They're tossing around theories about the ultimate mystery. Why are women infertile? Why can't we make babies anymore? Some of them say it's genetic experiments, gamma rays, pollution, same old, same old. Anyway, in the corner, this Englishman's sitting. He hasn't said a word. He's just tucking into his dinner. So they decide to ask him. They say, well, why do you think we can't make babies anymore? And he looks up at them, and he's chewing on this great big wing. And he says, I haven't the faintest idea, he said. But this stork is quite tasty, isn't it? Fucking stork. in the store.
Jasper eats an olive.
Italia. You okay, amigo?
Yeah, my ears are still ringing from earlier.
Ah, well, a little Zen music won't bother you then, will it?
Jasper switches it on using a remote. He mimes playing an electric guitar. Theo roars with laughter. Night turns into day. Theo is woken by his TV alarm. His bedroom window high up has a depressing view of London. A watery winter sun is just beginning to rise. Wearily, Theo sits on the side of the bed. With his takeaway coffee, he walks past an incident. The words Human Project Living have been daubed on the side of a house and are being painted over by an officer. Rows of armed police stand behind their riot shields in front of full cages. Immigrants are being picked out of a line. The guard shouts, his dog straining at the leash. A small fire smoulders. A digger pushes rubbish to one side. Objects are being hurled over the balcony of a high-rise block of flats behind. Outside the Argentinian embassy, flowers, cards and photographs of baby Diego have spilled out onto the pavement. Grief-stricken people leave bouquets. Walking past, Theo ignores it. Suddenly, he's grabbed from behind.
Get your fucking head down! Get your fucking head down!
Okay, okay. Get it!
Step!
Hit him in!
Step!
Hit him in!
Get his fucking legs!
Go, 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 go!
Two balaclavaed men thrust him into a delivery van.
You are under the jurisdiction of the Fishers. The Fishers are at war with the British government until they recognise equal rights for every immigrant in Britain.
We're not going to hurt you, we just want to talk. But don't do anything stupid.
Uncover him.
It isn't safe.
Do it.
One of the men uncuffs his hands and roughly whips off the black hood covering his head. He's sitting in a small booth, the walls of which are papered with newspaper articles.
Oh, Theo. It's me, Theo. It's Julian.
A bright light shines directly in his face.
You scared the shit out of me.
I'm sorry about the theatrics, but we had no choice. The police have been a pain in the ass lately. How have you been?
Fantastic. Couldn't be better.
Cut the lights.
The booth is plunged into darkness for a second.
Please keep using that old photo of you in the posters. Doesn't do you justice.
What do the police know about justice?
What exactly is it you guys do, anyway?
The Fishers fight for equal rights for every immigrant in Britain.
He knows what we do.
Well, you almost fucking blew me up in a coffee shop yesterday. My ears are still ringing.
We don't bomb.
It's the government. That's what they do to spread the fear.
What about Liverpool?
After Liverpool, we start bombing. We started speaking to the people. And they're joining us, Theo. British people, too.
I don't talk politics.
It's all you ever used to do.
That was 20 years ago. I'm a lot more successful now.
Come on, Theo. Walk with me.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Come on.
They leave the booth. It's plonked in the middle of a vast, light and airy, empty depot. Theo takes out a cigarette.
You smoking?
Yeah, it's not working.
I heard about your mother. I'm sorry.
Were your parents in New York when it happened?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, well, that's the world we live in now, isn't it?
Why am I here, Jules?
I need your help. I need transit papers. Not for me, a girl. She's a Fuji. I need to get her to the coast, past security checkpoints.
I haven't seen you for nearly 20 years, and you come asking me for transit papers.
Can you do it?
I don't see how.
You could ask your cousin. The government finances his Arc of the Arts. He has access to papers.
Yeah, but he'd never do it.
He would if you asked him.
I can't. It's too dangerous.
I can get you £5,000. I know you need the money.
What are you talking about? I don't fucking need your money.
Right. Sorry. My mistake.
The guys return and hood him.
You know that ringing in your ears? That ee? That's the sound of the ear cells dying, like their swan song. Once it's gone, you'll never hear that frequency again. Enjoy it while it lasts.
This never fucking happens. Didn't Gant tell in tales because we'll be watching you. At work, when you sleep, when you have a piss, we'll be watching. All the fucking time.
Jeez, your breath stinks.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It was Julian's idea bringing you here. She put herself at great risk. Now, you know about the $5,000 we can offer you. So if you change your mind, pin this to the notice board at Camden Tube. We'll do the rest.
A folded up piece of paper is put into his hand.
Here you are, bus fare.
He's dumped in the middle of the road underneath a flyover. He picks up the coins which have been thrown down after him. It's been raining, the ground is wet. A billboard opposite blares out with its advertising. The outstretched wings of a silver eagle on the bonnet of a grey Rolls-Royce noses its way through Piccadilly. Theo sits in the back, a rickshaw behind them. They pass vegetable stalls and mounted police. A religious demonstration is in full swing. People wear yellow capes with the word Repent written on the front and on their banners. The faithless have made us barren. Infertility is God's punishment.
And in his anger he has taken away his most precious gift to us.
The
rusted
chain. The Rolls turns into Admiralty Arch, passing through a heavily armed checkpoint. Going down the Mall, they pass the horsemen of the changing of the guard in their gleaming uniforms. The band in St. James's Park plays to those enjoying the sunshine. A zebra and a camel roam freely. The Rolls drives over a guarded bridge to Battersea Power Station and down the ramp inside.
Mr. Farrell, the minister's expecting you. This way, sir. I'm afraid this is a non-smoking facility.
You've got something in your teeth.
Theo empties his pockets onto the tray. A packet of fags, a bunch of keys, some aspirin, a £5 note, a small bottle of Bells.
If you'll excuse me.
He's shown into the airy gallery and faces a naked Greek male statue, a wreath in his hair, part of his left leg missing. It's held together with a steel pole and a false foot. Two wolfhounds loll at the base and get up as Theo approaches. A casually dressed man appears from around the screens either side.
Couldn't save La Pietà. Smashed up before we got there. Pretty rummy, huh?
My mum had a plastic one in the bathroom. It was a lamp.
Good to see you, Theo.
The man embraces him.
We got to keep Las Meninas and a few other Velasquez, but we only got a hold of two Goyas. That thing in Madrid was a real blow to art.
Not to mention people. How's Martha?
She's doing her animal charity thing. Sends her love.
Give her my best.
Yes.
They're served lunch.
Why did you come, Theo?
Theo pauses, drinking his wine.
Well, the thing is, I met this girl.
Cute?
Beautiful.
Is it serious?
Very. she's got this brother in Brighton, and she hasn't seen him for about 5 years, and he's not doing too good. I mean, pretty sick. I don't think he's gonna make it.
Sorry.
I've got money. I was just hoping that you might...
They stop talking whilst the waiters bring another course. Theo waves his away. His cousin and his son are served theirs.
I was hoping you could get us the transit papers to get to the coast.
Transit papers? It's quite a favour.
I know.
Highly controlled. Alex, take your pills. Alex? Alex? Alex!
Alex stops moving the wires on the end of his fingers attached to a cuff around his wrist and takes a pill. Then he resumes playing the air, directed at a small Perspex screen in front of him, flashing images.
Come with me.
I'm really sorry, Nigel. I just don't know who else to ask.
Let's see what I can do.
Nigel offers him a pill.
What?
You kill me. 100 years from now, there won't be one sad fuck to look at any of this. What keeps you going?
it is, Theo. I just don't think about it.
A flying pig is suspended from the roof outside. In the pub, Theo's brought a pint along with a flyer about a lost dog.
Where's Julian?
She couldn't make it. Sends her best. Here's a photo of the girl and a name.
Oh, hang on. We got a problem. All I could get were joint transit papers, which means I would have to escort them now.
Will you?
For a couple more grand.
Julian thinks very highly of you.
Has she?
Yeah. Thanks again.
Luke leaves him with another pint. Theo picks up the details and puts them in his breast pocket. Later, at the dog track, Theo is sitting inside the stands following the race, which can also be watched on two large screens. A wrinkled, grey-haired woman shows him the flyer and walks off. He retrieves his ticket from his pocket and, holding his beer, he follows her, making his way down the stands.
I'll be 1 minute. Billy, I'm in a rush.
He goes over to his bookie, hands over his ticket and gets paid. Thinking he's lost the woman, Theo runs outside. He doesn't notice her across the road getting on a double-decker bus. Then he spots her. Ditching his beer, he runs across the road and chases the bus. He manages to leap on.
He's the plumber.
Jesus.
He's my dentist.
He's the waiter. She's my cousin.
The woman jerks her head for him to go upstairs. Julian is the only person sitting up there.
Protect Britain. Report all illegal immigrants.
Did you get the papers?
Lovely to see you, too.
Thank you. I really appreciate this.
Just like the old days, back at the bus.
Yeah, except we're the old farts now.
You're looking good.
Right.
Seriously, look at me.
They stare at each other.
It's hard for me to look at you. He had your eyes.
Uncomfortably, they both turn away, lost in their own thoughts.
You know, I never understood how you got over it so quickly.
Do you think I got over it? No one could get over it. I live with it.
I think about him every day.
You don't have a monopoly on suffering, you know. You always carry this memory like a ball.
You fucking know
I
about my memories. You don't know what I feel or what... Oh, yeah, there you go. It's what you always do. When it gets tough, you walk away.
Do your part.
This is our stop.
He jumps up and follows her. She's already crossed the road and climbing the bridge over a railway. She calls out to him.
Polonia. Andiamo.
So why did you come to me? You could have found other ways to get transit papers.
Probably.
So why me?
I trust you.
And what happens after?
Well, you take a train back. It'll be safer.
No, I mean, what happens to us?
I don't know.
She briefly kisses him.
Theo, come on. You came for the money.
Did I?
They walk down the steps on the other side and through a dark and dripping underpass littered with rubbish. Luke is waiting for them with a car. Theo gets in the back, Julian in the front. Luke drives.
Theo? You got my money.
See?
We'll take you down to the first checkpoint on the Canopy Road. And you and Key are on your own.
There are two other occupants in the back.
Well, this is obviously the elite unit.
This is Miriam.
Hi.
This is the girl.
Key, this is Theo.
She's wearing headphones.
Fuck you staring at.
Apparently the pleasure's all mine. Are we planning a sing-along? Good. I'm going to take a nap.
He rolls up his coat like a pillow and leans his head against the window. In dappled sunlight, they drive through a forest.
The afternoon is looking good here on Radio Avalon. You're now now one for all the nostalgics out there. A blast from the past, all the way back from 2003. That beautiful time when people refused to accept the future was just around the corner.
Hey, you're snoring.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were. He always snored.
Where are we?
Canterbury. We're close.
Anyone know if there's a hotel around here?
What?
Julian promised me a little bit of action.
You still like it in the afternoon?
So what do you do? Rob a train? Blow up a building?
Leave the girl alone. You told me he was suave. One gets it drunk.
He's suave. Should have seen him in the old days when he was a real activist.
You were the activist. I just wanted to get laid.
One time, the police came to throw us out of our squat, and Theo invited them up for coffee to negotiate, only the coffee was spiked with ketamine.
She produces a ping pong ball.
Oh, fuck off. You've got to be kidding.
You know how many people I've tried this with?
I don't know.
You'll be happy to know, out of the hundreds...
Hundreds?
You are still the
I'm
only
not doing
one.
It.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
the
are.
Car's moving
yes,
too
you
much.
Mm-hmm.
You are. Right?
She blows it from her mouth.
Hilarious! No, wait. Okay.
He does it back to her.
Do it again! Julian, that's disgusting!
They kiss with it.
Look out!
Jesus!
Go!
Fuck.
Go, we're gonna make it. Come on,
A burning vehicle rolls down the bank and explodes in front of them.
Jesus!
A terrifying mob swarms towards them, attacking the reversing car with rocks and clubs. A firebomb is hurled at the bonnet and explodes, flames leaping up the windscreen. A motorcyclist with pillion rider comes up on them fast. A gun is produced and pointed at them.
Jesus!
Cover key!
A shot is fired through the windscreen.
Fuck!
The bike comes back for more. Theo violently opens the car door. It sends the two men crashing spectacularly onto the road.
She's bleeding everywhere!
Luke is reversing like crazy. Theo holds Julian's throat, trying to stem the flow of blood.
Put pressure on the wall!
Miriam lays her healing hands on Julian's head. Julian's neck and shirt is soaked with blood.
Oh, no! Julian!
No.
Jesus Christ! It's a cops! Are they coming back?
Faster!
What's happening? Are they coming back?
I don't know. Just go faster!
Huh?
Oh, God, can't you pull off the road?
Alright, slow down. I've got to stop!
Pull over!
Get your passports out!
They stop.
British citizens!
Calm down, tell me what's happened!
We were attacked!
I'm going to call for assistance!
Luke shoots both policemen.
What are you doing?
Get in the car.
Why did you do that?
Get in the fucking car!
We have to
get back in now. Quickly, we've got to get off the road. Get in.
Threatened with the gun, Theo gets back in the car. The officers are left lying in the road in a pool of blood. Deep in the forest, Miriam places her hands over Julian's prone body in chants. She places a coin on her forehead between her eyes and covers her with a cloth.
May all the ascended beings, the bodhisattvas and saints, and all those who have walked the surface of the earth.
Theo walks away. He takes out his whiskey bottle and has a slug. He reaches into his breast pocket for a cigarette. Suddenly, he sinks to his knees, crouched against a tall pine tree, overcome by grief. He can't even light his cigarette. Luke drives up. Theo wipes his streaked and filthy face with the back of his hand and gets up. He walks slowly back to the car. It's night, and they're still driving through the forest. Miriam sits in the back, quietly chanting, holding Key's hand. Theo in front, leaning his head against the window. The atmosphere is miserable and subdued, like the rain beating down on them from outside. The car turns off the road and into a field.
This is Tomash and Emily's farm. I already called and told them the situation. We'll be safe here.
Two men with guns allow them into the yard and up to the farmhouse.
Fishers are coming in to vote for a new leader.
More people come out of the house.
Ian!
Yeah?
We have to convene.
Everyone's arriving.
Are you all right?
Yeah, it's not my blood.
Emily? Tomash? This is Key.
Welcome.
Miriam. Yeah. They need to wash up and rest.
How about Julian's meat?
Yeah, can somebody give me a lift back to London?
No. It's too dangerous. We'll sort it tomorrow. Tomash, get him a shower and a clean shirt. Okay. Tomash, don't block the car and it needs to be jump started. Ian?
Yeah.
We're
missing it. They like you. And they don't like anyone.
The dogs follow Tomash and Theo into the house. In a clean shirt, Theo puts his things back into the pockets. Swigging some whiskey, he sees a photograph on the windowsill, a family, the children clowning on a rope swing.
We need to show strength and unity.
Shirt fit?
I agree.
Yeah, it's fine, thanks.
I'll take care of this.
Tomash takes his old shirt.
We need to choose leadership.
I don't think those blood stains will wash up.
Don't worry about it. I'll throw it away.
Pulling on his overcoat, Theo goes outside. Tomash follows.
I'm in charge of watching you.
Why?
Well, they told me.
Well, I'm going back to London tomorrow.
I lived there once. Didn't like it.
No.
They kill you.
Where are you from?
Poland.
Is this your place?
My missus. She's a cod. English fish.
Mr. Farron, Key would like a word with you. She's in the barn. It's all right, Thomas. I'll watch him.
Smoking, Theo follows Miriam across the yard towards the barn.
Hey, don't smoke in the barn, eh?
Theo stubs it out. Through the window, the group raise their glasses. Miriam goes in first.
I'll be right outside.
The barn is full of bales of hay and the milking machines.
You know what they do to these cows? They cut off their tits. They do. Zzz. Gone. Bye. Only leave four. Four tits fits the machine. It's wacko. Why not make machines that suck eight titties, eh?
Is that what you want to talk about? Cows and titties?
Julian told me about your baby. Said his name was Dylan. You taught him to swim when he was two. He called you Papa. She said if anything goes spooky, I should talk to you. Said you'd help me. Said you'd get me to the boat.
What boat?
The tomorrow.
The tomorrow? I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm sure your friends can take care of you.
But Julie said only trust you. She said you'd help me.
I don't know why she said that. Listen, I don't quite know what's going on.
You can't leave.
Key, I'm in a lot of trouble myself. I'm sorry.
Wait!
What are you doing? Don't do that.
Theo holds out his hand to stop her, but she unbuttons her smock and reveals her naked breasts and a very swollen belly. Theo is rooted to the spot, shocked to the core. She covers her breasts with her hands and stands there in amongst the cows.
I'm scared. Please help me.
Theo still can't speak, gazing at her swollen stomach.
Jesus Christ.
Key!
What are you doing?
Key!
Luke charges in.
Are you all right?
She wanted him to know. She has the right.
Of course she has.
For God's sake.
When you're ready, come inside. Everybody's arrived.
She's pregnant.
Now you know what's at stake.
But she's pregnant.
Yeah, I know. It's a miracle, isn't it?
Luke plays the group a news bulletin from the television.
Fisher's terrorist leader Julian Taylor was killed today in a gun battle with police near Canterbury. Four other terrorists escaped after murdering two officers. Police say they have sufficient forensic and surveillance evidence to identify the four killers. All suspects should be considered armed and extremely dangerous.
This was broadcast an hour ago. We have to assume it's just a matter of time before they identify the rest of us, which includes you, Theo.
Why is he here?
He's not a fish.
He's not one of us.
I want him here.
Key wants him. He stays.
Now, we all agreed to deliver Key to our brothers and sisters in the Human Project.
Right.
But now we've got to reevaluate that position.
No, there's no need. We move forward with the original plan.
Yes!
Hey, she'll never make it. The police are looking for her.
We can find a way. It's what Julian wanted.
He'd be risking the girl's life.
Listen, listen! She belongs here. And this baby is the flag that could unite us
all. We never use this baby for political purposes.
My baby's not a flag.
Make it public!
What?
What?
Excuse me?
You should make it public.
Well, you saw the telly. She's about to be very public.
Doesn't matter. She's pregnant.
Oh, right. And then the government will say, well, we were wrong. Fuji's are humans too.
Yeah, well, whatever's going on, whatever your political ideas are, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Oh, come on.
She needs a doctor.
You really don't.
Look, the government will take the baby and parade a posh black English lady as the mother. Nobody's taking my baby.
We all know this government would never acknowledge the first human birth in 18 years from a Fuji.
A wanted Fuji. Why don't we explain to Mr. Farron what they do to immigrants in this country?
He knows. He's seen the cages. He's not that stupid.
I'm not going to the government. You told me you would get into the Human Project. You promised me.
And we will. But I don't think it's safe to try and reach the coast now. You could stay here, Key. It's a safe place for you to have your child. Then when you and the baby are well enough, we will find a way to get you to the Human Project. I promise you, Key.
It could take months to get back in touch with them again.
This is true.
We have to take it under consideration. Key, this is your decision.
What do you think?
I think you need proper care.
Oh, brilliant.
She has proper care.
What the fuck does he know? Shit.
Key, this is your choice.
I have my baby here. Then you get me to the Human Project.
Thank you.
Uneasily, Key looks over at Theo. The kitten finally manages to climb up Theo's trousers.
Ow.
Upstairs, Theo is lying awake on his bed. He's roused from his thoughts when he hears a motorbike drive into the yard. Curious, he gets up and looks out of the window. Theo creeps downstairs. It's the bikers who shot at them, the pillion rider seriously injured. The front door is open. He's just about to go outside when he hears the conversation heading back towards the house. He quickly hides against one of the open doors.
What the fuck are you doing here? No fucking excuse!
You have a first aid kit? Medicine?
Mostly for cows.
ID, bandages, clean towels, whatever you have, bring it to the bar. For God's sake, hide the fucking motorcycle. You put everything at risk.
What was that supposed to do? What about all the fucking police here? You said it would be safe.
When the coast is clear, he goes out the front door. He's not wearing any shoes. In sopping wet socks, he listens to the conversation from the outside.
But we can forget about the baby if the girl even suspects we killed Julian.
What was I supposed to do?
You saw him out with you. He's on Dad's fucking door, man.
He's my fucking cousin.
Luke, he needs a doctor.
Don't worry. We'll take care of him. Simon, right?
Hi, Simon.
All right, sit down, Patrick. Simon's a good fish. So are you. Be proud to know that because of the two of you, the uprising is assured. The baby will stay with us.
Where's Farron? He's a fucking dead man.
Yeah, tomorrow. We'll do him then, after we move the girl. Patrick. You have a break protocol again. I'll have to kill you.
Luke presses his gun in Patrick's face. Theo goes straight back inside and up to the girls' room.
Key. Key, it's Theo. Listen to me.
What's going on?
Luke killed Julian. They want your baby. They killed Julian. They killed Julian. They're going to kill me. We have to leave. We have to go.
Marianne, shut up.
Trust me. We've got to go.
Stop it. Stop it. Both of you. Get off. I'm going with him. Mary, you can stay if you want. You have to keep your mouth shut.
They quietly follow him down the stairs. At the door, he signals for them to wait. He crouches down beside one of the vehicles. When the guard is walking away from him, he moves round to the driver's side and removes the key from the ignition. Still crouching, he moves to the next vehicle, opens the door, and then ducks.
Safir, yeah. It looks bloody fucking awful.
Really?
All that dirt and sand in there, no way to hide the blood in, no skin.
Shit.
It's fucking disgusting.
He's not gonna make it.
Of course he's not gonna make it, with all the blood and guts coming out.
Having retrieved a fag from the packet on the dashboard, the guard goes away. Theo closes the door, moves round to the bonnet where he lifts the lid and pulls out some wires. Miriam and Key are now crouched down against the side of the car. He signals for them to wait and moves on to the last vehicle. He nods, opens the door for them, and they creep in. The car won't start. He releases the handbrake, gets out and begins to push. Tomasz tries to stop them, but they kick at him through the window and he falls over. Coasting down the field, the car still doesn't start. Theo gets out and pushes it again.
Shit! They're coming!
Patrick comes tearing after them.
Oh my God, he's gaining on us!
Can I shoot? I can't clean shot!
Theo opens his car door on him and knocks him flying into a haystack.
Miriam, jump start the car!
Oh, we have to go!
They swerve into the road and stop. Theo leaps out and pushes the car from behind.
Wait till it gets faster!
All right, just push, you push!
Theo pushes in his socks. A vehicle skids into the road behind them and hits a tree.
Go!
Theo leaps in the back. Luke and the others are running after them like madmen, only a few feet behind.
Pete, are you all right?
I'm fine.
We need to find a safe house.
Oh, yeah, the last one was really fucking safe.
Well, what do you suggest?
Don't worry. I know where to go.
Theo drives through open country, piles of smoking carcasses dotted about the fields, bathed in watery sunshine. Miriam and Key quietly chanting in the back.
Wait here.
Theo stops the car and gets out. He pulls back the foliage and branches to Jasper's house and drives along the hidden path. He marches straight in, his feet hurting.
Ow, fuck. Jasper? Janice?
Jasper is sitting in his chair with his back to Theo, Janice nearby. He doesn't move. Theo notices the quietest suicide pillbox on the floor next to the ashtray filled with spliff ends and a loaf of sliced bread. Jasper's hand dangles from the side of his chair.
Jasper.
Theo reaches out his hand to move a strand of hair from Jasper's face. Jasper opens his eyes.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck you.
What are you doing with this shit?
This? Yes, I mix it. A bit of bread, poison the rats. It's not bullshit, what they say. Pass away quite peacefully.
Jasper, meet Miriam and Key.
Jasper's astonished to see Key stroking her swollen belly. He cooks them a stir fry. Theo soaks his feet in a bowl of hot water.
For tomorrow, it's a hospital ship disguised as a fishing boat. They'll take us to the human project.
I told you, amigo, the human project is real.
Yeah, but you're also the guy that believes in UFOs. Tell them about that thing you saw on the heath.
You saw a UFO?
Did you know that the Human Project is supposed to have a community on the Azores?
Mm, it's a sanctuary. That's where they'll take us, Key.
Can you catch this ship anywhere else?
Oh, it's going to stop at the last two weather buoys en route at sunset. So that'll be tonight at Winsmore and then tonight's time at Bexhill.
You can forget about Winsmore. We'd never make it in time.
No, it's our only chance. We can't get into Bexhill. That's a refugee camp.
Eureka. Eat and rest with a little bit of luck. You're gonna need all your energy.
Where are you going?
Feed her for me, Theo. Key, your baby is the miracle the whole world's been waiting for. Shanty, shanty, shanty.
Theo goes over to Janice.
Do you really see a UFO?
Theo has discarded three pairs of shoes. He tries on a fourth. They don't fit. Only a pair of flip-flops are left. He pushes his feet into them. They fit. Taking his coffee with him, he walks into the living room. Looking out of the window, he sees Miriam practicing her Tai Chi. Key is plaiting Janice's hair.
Is she doing her voodoo-woodoo?
She's doing something.
She smited me with that. Said it was good for my baby. Does she look posh to you? Or gawky?
Miriam, balancing on one leg, wobbles over.
Ernest.
Cha.
How many months?
It takes 9 months.
I know. Who's the father?
We fed. I'm a virgin.
Sorry?
Cha, be wicked, eh?
Yeah, it would.
Fuck knows. I don't know most of the wanker's name. You know, when I started puking, thought I'd catch the pest. But then my belly started getting big. Nobody ever told me these things. I'd never seen a pregnant woman before. But I knew. I felt like a freak. I didn't tell nobody. I thought about the quietest thing. It's supposed to be suave. Pretty music and all that. Then the baby kicked. I feel it. Little bastard was alive, and I feel it, and me too. I am alive.
Jasper returns.
Frolly.
Frolly.
Name my baby Frolly.
It's the first baby in 18 years. You can't call it Froley.
Says who?
Key, I found your boat.
Great.
How?
We get ourselves arrested.
Oh, Jesus.
No, no, Sid, this border guard I sold pot to, has agreed to get us into Bexhill. Nicely ironic, eh? We break into prison. What?
We kid.
Outside, Theo covers their car with tree boughs, hiding it in the woodland above the house. It's dusk. Patting Jasper's dog, he looks up at the tall, spindly pine trees, their tops waving in the breeze. Unseen, he goes inside and stops at the drinks trolley to refill his bottle.
Everything is a mythical cosmic battle between faith and chance.
Maybe I shouldn't.
You already did. Take another one. Now cough. What do you taste?
Strawberries.
Strawberries. That's what it's called, strawberry cough.
Wicked.
So, you've got faith over here, right? And chance over there.
Like yin and yang.
Sort of.
Oh, Shiva and Shakti.
Lennon and McCartney.
Look, Julian and Theo.
Yeah, there you go. Julian and Theo met among a million protesters in a rally by chance. But they were there because of what they believed in the first place, their faith. They wanted to change the world, and their faith kept them together. But by chance, Dylan was born.
This is him?
Yeah, that's it. He'd have been about your age. Magical child. Beautiful. Their faith put in praxis.
Praxis? What happened?
Chance. He was their sweet little dream. He had little hands, little legs, little feet, little lungs. In 2008, along came the flu pandemic. And then by chance, he was gone.
Oh, Jesus.
You see, Theo's faith lost out to chance. So, why bother if life's going to make its own choices?
Watch out, baby's got Theo's eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. But, you know, everything happens for a reason.
That I don't know. Theo and Julian would always bring
dinner. Not wanting to hear any more, Theo goes back outside. Lying asleep on the sofa in the living room, he's woken by a terrible racket. The lights suddenly go on.
It's the alarm. Someone's breaking in.
What is it?
Look at this.
On the monitor, four points of entry have been breached around the surrounding woodland by the fishes.
Jasper, hurry up!
Theo loads the boot as Miriam and Key get in.
Where's Janice?
Take the back path to the main road, then follow the map I've given Miriam.
Yeah, I've got it.
What are you talking about?
Wait for Sid in the old school in Watchbell Road in Rye. Give him this and tell him he's a facet's pick.
We need to get Janice.
We're not going, Theo.
What are you talking about?
Well, you don't need an anchor.
No, Jasper, you're coming.
No, you need time. We'll stall him. I'll send him the wrong way. It's the best idea. Go on.
Jasper.
Theo, I've talked my way out of worse things than this. Believe me. Go on. Go.
He urges him back in the car.
Oh, and remember, tell Sid he's a fascist pig.
He thrusts a piece of paper into Theo's hand and taps bye-bye to the others on the car window. Inside the house, he switches on some music with his remote. He picks up the quieter's box and takes it over to Janice, sitting facing the window, and sits down opposite her, the box on his knees.
She would never say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows.
He kisses his two fingers and gently places them on her lips. He removes a file and syringe from the quieter's box. On the back path above the house, Theo stops the car and gets out. He hides behind a pine tree to watch. Miriam follows, keeping her distance. Jasper stands out front as three cars roll up. Luke and the others get out.
Hey, Amigo.
Hi.
We're looking for Theo Farron. We know he was here a few weeks ago. Has he been back?
Who?
Theo Farron.
Oh, I haven't seen him in weeks.
There's biscuits and coffee on the side. Help yourself.
Then. Want a drink? Look, come on. Have a drink. Lighten up. Lighten up.
What we got?
Here, Luke. It's a dead woman and dog inside.
They're going to Beck's Hill.
When did they leave?
Luke points his gun.
When did they leave?
Jasper holds out his finger.
Pull my finger. Pull my finger. I'll do it.
Luke shoots his hand. The sound makes Theo jump.
Fuck you.
Luke shoots his foot. Jasper falls to the floor. He gets up onto his knees and extends his other hand.
Put my finger.
Luke shoots again. This time, Jasper doesn't move. Theo's seen enough.
Theo, I'm so sorry.
Don't you fucking touch me.
He walks back to the car.
You tell me the fucking reason and that.
It's all part of a bigger thing.
Shut up!
We...
Shut up and get in the fucking car.
Jasper?
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Inconsolable, he drives out of the forest and cross country, the other two sitting silently in the back. They pass the muddy banks of a meandering river at low tide. Dead cattle sticking up out of the water, sewerage pipes bubbling. Plumes of thick grey smoke belching out from the chimneys in the distance. It's early morning when the wintry sun wakes Theo up, shining on his face in the front seat of the car. They've all slept parked outside the old school in Rye. After orienting himself, Theo gets out of the car. Slinging the satchel Jasper gave him over his shoulder, he walks towards the front entrance. There's a mural on the wall. It shows family life through the windows of a house, a woman wearing an apron inside, a girl on a bicycle, and one on roller skates outside. He slops along the corridor, over bits of glass and vegetation, past windows with ivy creeping up the panes inside. He freezes. A deer trots past at the intersection at the end of the corridor. He turns right at the bottom and right again into a dilapidated classroom and walks over to one of the broken windows. Key is sitting on a swing outside in the playground, singing. Miriam's sitting in the corner on an infant's chair. Key gets up and squats down. Theo turns away.
I was 31. Midwife at the John Radcliffe. I was doing a stint in the antenatal clinic. Three of my patients miscarried in 1 week. Others were in their fifth and sixth month. Managed to save two of the poor babies. Next week, five more miscarried. Then the miscarriages started happening earlier. I remember booking a woman in for her next appointment and noticing that the page 7 months ahead was completely blank. Not a single name. I rang a friend who was working at Queen Charlotte's and she had no new pregnancies either. She then rang her sister in Sydney. And it was the same thing there. You can relax, she's finished.
As the sound of the playgrounds faded, the despair set in. Very odd. What happens in a world without children's voices?
Miriam walks over to him.
I was there at the end.
Now you're going to be there at the beginning.
Yeah. I'll be there at the beginning. Thank you.
The horn alerts them.
Key! Come on, we've got to go!
Key stops swinging. They make their way towards the front entrance. An armoured jeep is parked outside. Theo walks ahead of them.
Stop where you are!
I'm looking for Sid.
Hands above your head.
Theo does as he's told.
You're a fascist pig.
An armed man in a beret jumps down and walks towards him.
What did you say?
I was told to tell you you're a fascist pig.
He flicks open his baton. Theo steps back.
Say it again.
No, don't, please. No, don't.
Say it again. Say it!
You're a fascist pig.
He pretends to strike Theo.
Come on.
He takes the satchel from Theo's shoulder. Sitting in the back of the jeep, a wire grill separates them from the front.
It was Jasper's idea, you know. The whole password thing. He will piss himself laughing when I tell him about this. He's a cheeky old bastard. So proud of his weed. Sid could get it a lot cheaper from the gangs, but Sid likes to deal with Jasper. Jasper's straight. A true gentleman.
All right.
What's wrong with her? She's sick?
Just car sick.
She's not gonna puke, is she?
No, she's fine.
Puking's bad. Very, very bad. Doesn't wash out. Smell never goes away. Usually, it's people trying to get out of Bix Hill, not in. Sid doesn't know why you want to get in. Sid doesn't want to know. Sid doesn't care.
Sid parks and gets out.
What's wrong with her?
Minor contraction. It's normal. Just breathe.
When you're released, stroll out with the other Fugees. Look for the statue of a soldier. There you'll meet a woman, Marika. Arab, gypsy, something. Always carries a shitty little dog with her. She'll find you accommodation for tonight. Right, the Fugees now. Show us the Fugee face. Sad face. Sad Fugee face. That's good. That's good. Okay.
They climb out of the back. A line of fugitives trail past.
Hey.
Sid marches them towards the single-decker bus, past cages, armed guards and dog.
Send me a postcard.
They get on the bus and sit towards the back. The desperation and misery of the Fugees is palpable. Theo sits next to a German woman who begs him for food. Miriam sits next to Key.
Bitte, mein Herr, entschuldigen Sie, aber ich bin sehr, sehr hungrig.
The bus moves off, clearing the checkpoint and driving down a country road. Low-flying helicopters pass the windows. A Fuji at the back coughs persistently.
What time are we supposed to meet the boat?
Sunset tomorrow.
How do we know that Luke and his mob haven't intercepted it?
Luke has no way of contacting the human project, nor does anyone else.
Say again?
Contact with the human project is done by mirrors. Julian was our mirror.
What do you mean, mirrors?
Mirrors. They contact
one of our people. That person contacts someone else and so on till word gets to Julian. She tells Luke.
You mean you never actually talked to any of them?
Uh-oh.
Don't fucking tell me you never actually talked to them.
All right, all right. Shh, shh, shh. Breathe it out.
Is she okay?
That's it. Breathe it out. Breathe it out.
I can't fucking breathe.
Are you sure this is normal?
It shouldn't be this frequent. Come on, breathe it out. All right, all right.
Dusk is falling when the coast comes into sight. In the distance, a black smog hovers over the town. It's dark when they finally pass through the heavily fortified and armed checkpoint into Bexhill Reception Centre.
Miriam, I'm all wet.
The water's broke. The baby's coming.
Shit.
All right, sweetheart. All right, sweetheart. Everything is fine. Breathe. Just breathe it out. That's it. Tomorrow you'll be safe.
The vast center is full of cages, army trucks and guards. They pass a line of Fujis, hands held behind their heads. The bus stops and a guard with a dog climbs aboard. He walks down the aisle.
Look up, you piece of shit. Look
up! He slings out a Fuji and approaches Key and Miriam.
She has the wisdom already.
Oh, I said, what's wrong with you? Look at me, I said, what's wrong with you?
St. Gabriel, help us. We
need... Shut up! Rot you up! Out!
St. Gabriel, come to our aid in this hour.
Get out! Come on,
out! Kekka!
What?
Piss! Piss! Kekka! Smell! Go!
You smell it yourself. You fucking people disgust me.
Viciously slapped, Miriam is slung off the bus. Theo sits next to Key and tries to comfort her as her contractions grow stronger. The lights go off and the bus pulls away.
She's okay, Key. She's okay. She's gonna be...
From the windows, they watch Miriam being manhandled to the lineup and a hood pulled over her head. The bus drives past a row of dead bodies laid out on the floor, their faces covered. When they get off the bus, they're chivied and herded through Homeland Security. One of the guards grabs hold of Theo's wrist and tries to take his watch. Key is separated and calls out in alarm.
Key!
Take it off!
Impatiently, Theo takes it off for him. He quickly gets back into line and is shuffled through a caged walkway, room only for one person to walk behind the other. Pushing through the turnstile, he's engulfed by hawkers and opportunists.
Hey, you, buddy! Buddy, buddy, welcome to paradise! You want accommodation? I've got running water!
Looking up, he sees the statue of the soldier on a plinth nearby. A gypsy woman in a headscarf sits at its base with a scruffy little dog.
It's time to carry it. Come on, you got room, food, fine, what do you need? Fine, this is something, mate. Fuck off, is it? Bollocks.
Looking up, he sees the statue of the soldier on a plinth nearby. A gypsy woman in a headscarf sits at its base with a scruffy little dog.
Marika?
She stops smoking and looks up at him. On a motorized tricycle, they pass a funeral pyre openly burning three bodies in the street.
Just breathe through. That's it. It's okay. We're almost there, Key. We're almost there.
On the cramped back seat, Theo helps her as a contraction takes hold. It's a war zone out there. Fires burn. Dogs roam. Another contraction halts her on the stairs of this once impressive civic building. Marika walks ahead with an oil lamp. She opens the door to a large bare room, a bald, dirty mattress on the floor.
Bravo.
The dog runs in.
Okay,
there's a bit. There's it.
Make her go! Make her go!
We tie up by each other. Yeah, up and push up by each other.
Thank you.
Nice
cigar. Get her out!
In exchange for cigarettes, Theo gets the lamp and finally closes the door. Marika opens it again so that the dog can get out. Key lies back on the mattress, her knees bent. Theo removes his coat.
Okay, Key. I'm going to put my coat underneath. It'll be cleaner.
He lays it under her bottom.
You're okay. Okay. There's water. I'm just going to wash my hands.
He plunges his hands into the bucket in the corner.
Theo!
Yeah,
Theo!
I'm here. It's okay. Everything's okay.
Do something!
Kneeling at her feet, he strokes her knees and pulls back her smock.
It's looking good, Keith. It's looking good. You're doing great. Just keep breathing. Keep breathing.
I am breathing!
No, like Miriam said, do you remember? Breathe out. Just think about the out. Just breathe out and push. Push as well. That's it. That's it. Yes, you can. That's you can. Just out and push. Out and push. That's it. That's it. Key, I can see the head. I can see the head. You're doing great. You're doing great, Key. That's it. That's it. It's coming again. Just breathe out and push. Out and push. That's it. Out and you can. Yes, you can.
I fucking can.
Yes, you fucking can. Come on. Key. The head's coming out. That's it. You're nearly there. You're nearly there. Just push. Push, Key. Push. Push.
His hands cleansed with whiskey, he catches the steaming baby and holds it in both hands.
Oh, my God.
How is he?
It's a girl. Key, you've got a girl.
He gently lays it across her stomach. Key cradles her. He picks up a knife from the table and returns to the bucket.
Aren't we supposed to cut the cord?
Yeah, it's okay. There's no rush. You've done it. Key. See? It wasn't that bad.
Where? Not for you.
It's morning. Key's asleep on the mattress, the baby swaddled in a bundle in the crook of her arm.
Come on, hurry up, we don't have much time.
Who is it?
The King of England. Open it, boy, asshole, it's Sid.
Both now awake, Thea waits whilst Key covers up the baby with a rough blanket.
How can you sleep through when the whole city's gone to hell?
What's wrong with her? She's fine. It's a woman's thing.
A few hours ago, a bomb blew a hole in the fence and Fugie's got out. But Sid happens to know. The hole in the fence isn't about Fugie's getting out. It's about fishies getting in. Sid also happens to know that the army's going to blow the shit out of this place. But don't worry. Sid is here to get you out.
Go away. Go.
The dog smells the baby. Marika picks the dog up.
What you got there?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
No? Like to show me?
I don't have anything. It's nothing.
Well,
I don't
if
have
nothing,
anything.
Then I can have a look.
Sid comes over.
It's nothing.
Let me see.
No.
Let me see. It's okay. Let me see. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's
right. We got a baby.
Oh,
Oh, fuck.
And now we need a rowboat. Can you help us?
Get it up. We need to go.
Can you help us get a boat?
Yeah. Just get it up. We need to go. We need to go now.
What?
What's she saying?
She
doesn't want us to go.
Shut up. Bastard!
Sid fires his gun at the floor.
We need to go.
And points it at them.
Sid was watching television last night with Mummy. She's a sweet old soul. Dying of cancer is heartbreaking. And then the news came on. And you two were on it. Something about cop killer. Something about a big reward. Sid then finds out the fishies are looking for you. So Sid thinks the fishies are looking for you. The coppers are looking for you. You people are first-class commodities. Shut the fuck up! Shut up! Down! Now! Sid has a baby.
Marika pushes him down the last couple of stairs. Theo grapples with him and the gun goes off before Theo's overpowered. Marika comes running at Sid with a mallet and starts beating the hell out of him.
Marika! I can kill you, you bitch! I'll fucking kill you!
Theo runs to the fire exit at the bottom of the corridor. The others follow. The door will only open half an inch. Marika squeezes through.
Baby!
Quick, the baby!
Panicking, Key squeezes after her, then Theo follows, who is much bigger. He gets stuck. Sid aims his gun at him.
Go!
The door is filled with bullets. Theo forces himself through. Using a lump of debris, Theo smashes Sid's face as he appears round the door. He injures his foot on the rubble and hops his way after them.
How are you doing? How are you? Marika, we need a boat. A boat. The sea, a boat, a rowboat.
They come up alongside the protesters.
We got a boat.
Theo draws a rough picture.
A fucking boat.
A boat.
Yes.
Marika flaps at them to follow and they walk upstream into the line of marchers, ducking at the gunfire. A banner passes them written in Arabic. Men with covered faces, women wearing the hijab, men on horseback, men carrying their dead, all thrusting their guns into the air as they chant. At an intersection, they cross the street and go into a grey stone corner building with high-arched windows and pillars. The word bank is chiselled in the stone above. Marika speaks to a man inside and flaps at Key to come forward and reveal the baby to a grill hole at another door inside. Key uncovers the baby. The dresser inside the room is covered with religious artifacts, portraits, and family photographs, both old and new. A yellow canary sits in its cage. White-haired grandma sings. She offers a piece of orange to Key, who lies on the bed with the baby swamped in a fussy christening robe.
Look at that, Theo. They love my baby. I want to call her Bazooka.
Bazooka?
You don't like it?
I was getting used to Froley.
Froley's a man's name. What is he thinking? Giving you a boy's name.
Theo eats some broth.
We have a boat. Stay here. In 1 hour we go.
Thanks.
Human project? Real?
Better be.
Marika's friend puts a pair of moth-eaten blue trainers down on the table. Theo looks out of the window and watches tanks roll down the street below and armed men in balaclavas crawl over the rooftops opposite. They leave the building just as a flock of sheep trot past. Key is now in a wheelchair. They pass a grief-stricken woman on the pavement, her dead son, covered in blood, lying in her arms. Running out of a tunnelled alleyway, they come out into the street and crouch against the wall. A battle is taking place between the Fugees and army. Two men are shot. Armed vehicles drive past at speed. Their gypsy friend checks the coast is clear and runs across the muddy street. Pushing the wheelchair and hopping, Theo runs after him, followed by Marika and her dog. On the corner, by the Water Authority building, Patrick catches up with them.
Drop your dog! Drop your dog!
Hands in the air!
Okay,
put down weapons
down
now!
It's clear!
Hands above your head and fucking move out
Tell
of
here! Tell me, fuck, what's causing?
Get on your knees! On your knees!
You was 19!
Don't kill him! Don't kill him! Watch the flanks! Okay. Thank God. You'll be safe now. How's the child?
Luke kneels at her feet. Key spits at him.
You put their lives at risk.
Just let it go. You don't know what you're doing.
No? Look around you. It's the uprising. And they haven't even seen the baby. Let's go.
No!
Not in front of the girl. Wait till we get around the corner and do them all. Come on!
Theo, Marika and her friend are all down on their knees. Patrick casually walks over to them singing, his gun at his side. Hardly looking at him, he shoots the friend in the head. There is sudden gunfire and everyone scatters. Theo grabs Marika's hand and they run, taking cover against the wall, narrowly missing the bullets. The battle between the army and fishes rages. Theo follows Patrick down the road, taking cover every few yards. Gauging his chances, Theo runs across the road, dives for cover, and lands on top of some Fugees who are hiding.
Sorry.
They shoo him away. Theo carefully looks around the corner. He sees a large block of flats and a line of single buses parked opposite. He starts following Patrick and Luke, who are running away from him in the distance. Suddenly, Patrick turns, spots Theo and starts running towards him, shooting.
Fire!
Taking cover, Theo leaps onto one of the buses, which is peppered with gunfire. From the windows, he watches the fishes run into the block of flats opposite. The Fugees inside berate him for his intrusion as he runs the length of the bus. He watches a tank trundle up and bomb the flats. Thick black smoke spews out from the front entrance. Theo crouches down and runs across to the blown-up forecourt and watches the battle hidden from behind some masonry. Fishes run down the street at one end and are shot. Fugees come out of the entrance of the flats waving white flags and are mown down. Undercover from the black smoke of an explosion, Theo climbs over a low wall and into the flats. He trips and goes flying. A man with legs blown off reaches out to him. At the bottom of the stairwell, he looks up and sees figures moving upwards. He follows. A dead body is slumped halfway up. A chicken is on the steps in front of him. A woman clutches her knee, the rest of her leg missing. He walks along the corridor. People are crouching in fear, dodging bullets, injured. Brickwork is exposed, doors and windows blown away. He sees Patrick with his machine gun shooting and ducks behind a piece of wall. Patrick runs into the very flat in which he's hiding and shoots from the windows. Patrick is shot. Theo runs out and back down the corridor. Pausing for a moment, he hears the baby cry. At the top of the next set of stairs, he cautiously looks down the corridor. More people are crouched against the walls in fear. Theo makes his way towards the crying. Inside one of the flats, only the brickwork is left, it's so blown to pieces. Luke is shooting from the corner. Key is huddled with the baby, sitting beside a gaping hole overlooking the street. Through it, tanks and men are amassed. Theo crouches down opposite her. Dodging the bullets, Theo helps Key up. Luke points his gun at them.
I was carrying the baby up the stairs. I started crying. I've forgotten what they look like. They're so beautiful. They're so tiny.
He shoots at the street.
Julian was wrong! She thought it could be peaceful. But how can it be peaceful when they try and take away your dignity? We need the baby! We need him!
Again, Luke points his gun at them.
It's a girl, Luke. A girl. I had a sister.
They run for it. Luke shoots at Theo. There's a huge explosion, and Theo uses his body to protect Key and the baby. They're covered in dust.
You okay? How is she?
Annoyed.
Theo looks up. An African woman sitting further down the corridor is smiling and singing, looking at Key and the baby. Theo helps Key up, and they slowly move down the hall. The black woman holds out her hand and touches a tiny foot as they pass. Other hands reach out to touch them as they go by. People's faces popping out from their doorways, coming out from hiding, inquisitive and wondrous at this crying infant. Crowding round them, they want to touch the baby. They want to touch Key as they slowly make their way down the stairs. Halfway down the second floor, they're confronted by a Fuji, his gun pointing directly at them. They freeze. He stops for a second and looks at the baby and then carries on up the stairs, followed by his comrades. Halfway down the first floor, they come face to face with the army. The commander looks in awe at the tiny baby. The rest of his platoon are dumbstruck, lining the stairs as Theo and Key continue walking down. When they reach the bottom, soldiers are policing a handful of Fujis. They stop what they're doing and look at them in utter amazement as they continue on their way. Coming out of the darkened building into the bright light, they are met by a crowd of faces, a regiment of soldiers. All hostilities have stopped. Men scramble to their feet to get a better look. Key adjusts the infant in her arms, and they slowly resume their walking. passageway through the men opens up, incredulous combatants on either side. Some drop to their feet and genuflect as they pass. There are so many men, the line snakes into the distance. A volley of gunfire at the flats heralds the end of the ceasefire. Crouching low, Theo clutches Key tightly and they run. Marika comes out from hiding and guides them back towards the Water Authority building. Opportunists are looting the dead bodies on the ground outside. She goes inside the cylindrical stone entrance. Chattering away, she leads them to a small rowing boat moored in an underground tunnel, the walls hewn out of rock. She waits whilst they get in. She hands the baby over to Theo, who hands it to Key. Marika unties the rope.
No, no, Mike, no, go. You go.
No,
you
Marika,
go.
Come. Marika. Marika, get in the boat.
No, boat.
She touches Key's face as the boat drifts away, chattering to herself, watching from the side, Santos wagging his tail beside her. Theo pulls on a rope which propels the boat down the tunnel, under the broken grill at the end and out into the open water. It's misty and grey, visibility nil. He takes up the oars. A solitary gull sits on a wooden post sticking up out of the water. It's hard work for Theo. The boat disappears into the fog.
The boy! Theo, the boy!
The weather boy is no more than a few feet away, like a candle, its center glowing every few minutes. Theo stops rowing.
You okay?
Yeah. You?
Yeah.
The boat bobs up and down in the choppy water.
What a day.
We're too late, aren't we?
No. No, we're fine.
But they said they wouldn't wait.
Trust me. They'll come back.
A stream of low-flying jets zoom overhead. The glow of fierce explosions light up the coastline through the fog.
I'm bleeding. Jesus, shit, I'm bleeding.
No, no, no,
I'm bleeding
it's me.
Everywhere.
Blood covers the floor.
It's me.
What?
You got me.
Bad.
No, I'm fine. Keep her close, Key. Whatever happens, whatever they say, you keep her close.
He grabs her hand.
It's gonna be okay.
The baby is snuggled up against Key's chest. In pain, Theo holds his gut.
She's probably got wind. Wind up. Put her on your shoulder. Just tap her back.
He mimes the action. Key lifts the baby onto her shoulder and gently pats her back, her eyes never leaving Theo's face.
Gently.
The baby settles and Key cradles her in her arms. Grey-faced, Theo's other hand drops away from the oar.
There you go. Oh, Jesus.
Dylan.
Huh?
I'll call my baby Dylan. It's a girl's name too.
Theo's face is streaked with grime. For a second, he is alert and begins to smile. Then slowly, his head droops. Sitting upright, he goes limp and his head lolls to one side.
Theo?
Fearfully, Key looks about her at the oars unmanned, the boat bobbing up and down on the swell in the middle of nowhere.
Theo! The boat! The boat! It's okay. We're safe now. We're safe.
Smiling, she begins to sing a lullaby to the baby. A large blue boat glides towards them from out of the fog. A man stands on deck, pointing in her direction. Other men run up behind him. Tomorrow is written in large white capitals along its side. The end.